Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and I am happy to be with you on this seventh Sunday after Epiphany. Epiphany's a little long this year because Lent is starting later than it sometimes does. Lent is starting March 6th this year. The earliest that it starts is early February, so, you know, when it starts a little later, we get more Sundays in Epiphany, and today is the seventh Sunday after Epiphany. So we're going to go ahead and read the texts assigned for this Sunday and see where those texts lead us in our discussion. The first text comes to us from Genesis chapter 45, verse 3, Genesis chapter 45, verses 3 through 11 and verse 15. And those verses are as follows. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. Joseph said, "I am your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, the lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." So that's the first lesson from Genesis chapter 45, verses 3 through 11 and verse 15. The psalm for today comes to us from Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11 and 39 through 40. "Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so that you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked shall be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land, and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them, because they take refuge in him." That is, again, Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11 and 39 through 40. Our second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 38 and 42 through 50. "But someone will ask, 'How are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come?' Fool, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And as for what you sow, you do not sow the body that is to be, but a bare seed, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as God has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, and what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a physical body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the physical, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we will also bear the image of the man of heaven. What I am saying, brothers and sisters, is this. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. And that is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 35 through 38 and 42 through 50. And finally, the gospel for the week comes to us from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. Jesus says, "But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other cheek also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you receive as much again, if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be the children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap, for the measure you give will be the measure you get back." And that is the gospel of the Lord from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. As always, I wonder what you noticed as we read through those four texts assigned for today. There was obviously a lot, and various things may have struck you. I always like to look for patterns or things that, you know, jump out at me that might seem like patterns. And when you read straight through all four lessons like we just did, it's sometimes easier to notice those patterns. So, you know, I'm wondering what you noticed. I'm wondering if there was anything that made you sit up and say, "Oh, I've never thought of that before," or maybe something that said that made you think, "I don't know how I feel about that. That's odd." Or if you had questions, if there's anything that confused you, you know, these are things to take notice of and to look into more when you're studying the Bible. I noticed some of the themes that went through this. The lesson from 1 Corinthians, as you may recall, we often read through the epistles in somewhat sequence. I mean, we don't read through the entire epistle as we read through it, but we go through an epistle in order. We tend to skip some verses or some sections, but over the course of several weeks, we'll read through an epistle, and the same is here for 1 Corinthians. So it doesn't always go with the other texts. You know, if there's a theme that you're noticing in the other texts, the epistle doesn't always correspond perfectly with those other texts. And here we've been reading through 1 Corinthians for several weeks, and now we are up to chapter 15. I think next week we go to 2 Corinthians, and then we'll be into Lent, and things get, you know, all kinds of different. So I want to talk about some of those patterns that I saw. We are going to take our first break of the podcast, though, so stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. We are talking today about the texts assigned for the seventh Sunday after Epiphany. And as I mentioned before the break, I do want to talk about some of the things that I noticed, maybe some of the patterns that I noticed. And I think the theme that jumped out for me as I was reading through these texts for this week is love, and love connected with forgiveness. It's very apparent, the forgiveness theme in the Old Testament reading from Genesis, and that is the story of Joseph. Towards the end of that story, when Joseph meets his brothers again after a long separation, and of course that separation, if you remember the story, was caused by Joseph's brothers themselves, who were jealous of Joseph, who was their father's favorite. They didn't appreciate that their father treated Joseph differently than he treated them, and so they sold him into slavery in Egypt and told their father that he died. Who needs enemies when you have brothers like those, right? Joseph made the best of it, though. It turns out that he had a gift of interpreting dreams, and he made that work in ways that were helpful to the Pharaoh, so he rose in rank. He had a few little mishaps along the way, but he rose in rank and became an advisor to the Pharaoh. There were dreams that Joseph interpreted to mean there were going to be 7 good years and then 7 years of famine. And so he advised the Pharaoh to really take those 7 good years to stockpile and prepare for the 7 years of famine. So that we are told by Joseph that there have been 2 years of famine when his brothers come. His brothers are being, his family is being affected by the famine as well, even though they're not in Egypt. And they hear that there are resources in Egypt. So they go and beg to be helped, not realizing at first that it's Joseph. When they do realize that it's Joseph, they're terrified, as you can understand. And Joseph, many of us would probably think, would have been perfectly in his right, perfectly justified to be extremely mad, extremely bitter at his brothers, to use his place in the Pharaoh's court to punish them, to say, no, I'm not going to help you. You sold me into slavery. Why on earth would I help you now? And yet, he doesn't do that. Doesn't even seem to cross his mind. Obviously, we can't see into Joseph's mind. All we have are the words in front of us. But he sees his brothers, and he just seems so genuinely happy to see his family again and to be able to ask about his father, to be able to ask about his brother Benjamin, who is not with the brothers that go to Egypt. He is just so grateful to them. And it's this immense moment of grace. I'm always struck every time I read this by the grace that Joseph shows to his brothers. He says, you know what? You sold me into slavery, but God put that to use. God used me where I was to create the situation that we're in right now, where I am now able to help my family. Had I not been in Egypt, who knows what would have happened? Who knows if I would have been able to help my family? And he's just so pleased to see them, and he says, yes, of course I will help you. You have to go get the rest of the family. Bring our father here. Bring the household here. There's 5 more years of famine, but you will live in the land of Goshen, which always makes me think land of Goshen. Did you know that's where that came from? But you will, you know, move to the to Goshen and you will be taken care of. And Joseph uses this terrible situation to not punish his brothers, to not take out his bitterness, to not repay them an eye for an eye, as we talk about later in, you know, other places in the Bible, but to show grace and to show forgiveness. And it's just so amazing. We get a little bit of that also in the psalm that is assigned for today. One thing that I noticed from the psalm is the meek shall inherit the earth. And last week we started reading the sermon from the plain from the Gospel of Luke. And that continues this week, continuing that sermon. But, you know, you have the Beatitudes, the blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth, etc. The difference between Luke's gospel and Matthew's gospel is that Luke has the woe comments, which just the blesseds, just those are in Matthew, but the Sermon on the Plain has Jesus giving the woes as well. But when I read through this psalm, I immediately honed in on the meek shall inherit the earth. But this is also, it's got those themes of forgiveness, of grace, of living in the moment. You know, take delight in the Lord because God will give you the desires of your heart. Trust in God, do good, and good will come to you, you know, so you will live in the land, you will enjoy security. Don't fret about the wicked. Don't be envious of wrongdoers. All of these things could apply to Joseph, right? Joseph could have just lived in bitterness and not done anything, not found himself in the position of being an advisor to the Pharaoh, able to help his brothers and father. He didn't stress about what his brothers had done to him. Or if he did, he didn't stay there. He didn't wallow in it. He moved past it. He was able to move past it to make a life in Egypt. Even though he was sold into slavery, he made the best of his time there. Commit your way to God, trust in God, and God will act. All of this is about, you know, living in that moment, looking for those moments of grace, not dwelling, not living in the bitterness of people who are wicked, not being envious of other people in your lives, but paying attention and just following the path that God has laid out in front of you. Follow that path. Use the gifts that God has given you to do good in the world and let the rest sort itself out. Obviously, you're going to have times, you're going to have people that come across your path that are mean, that are, sometimes they feel evil, that are just seem determined to be as destructive as possible. You could say Joseph's brothers were that. They certainly were fretting about things that were, you know, I mean, yeah, they were bitter. They were jealous of their brother. They were angry at their father. Do not fret, the psalm tells us. It only leads to evil. Well, Joseph's brothers show us that, right? They fretted. They fretted and they fretted, and it led them to the evil of telling their father that his son was killed and sent, and it, when in reality, they sold their own brother into slavery. So I see so much continuity, maybe so much of so many similarities between the psalm and Joseph's story and his brother's story. I just see that forgiveness, that focusing on what God has called you to do, you know, eyes on your own paper, right? Pay attention to what's in front of you, not what your neighbor's doing. When you pay attention to what your neighbor's doing, then you can be mad, you can be jealous, you can be all kinds of things that aren't focused on what is in front of you. God has given all of us gifts and abilities and talents that we can put to use wherever we are, whatever situation we're in. We might think we are in a terrible, horrible, awful situation, and we might be. We might be in a situation that's just miserable, but we can still put our gifts to use. We can still focus on God's plan for us. We can ask God what that plan is. You know, God, I am here. I know you are here with me. What would you have me do in this situation? you might not always like the answer. You know, God might be asking you to do something that's really, really hard. God does that all the time. And we, like the Old Testament prophets, say no all the time, whether that's verbally or even consciously. But we're like, no, not going to do that. Don't like it. Don't like those people over there. Not going to help them. And yet, that is not what we're called to do, and that's not what these texts for today show us. So we're going to take our second break of the podcast, and when we come back, we'll be looking at the Gospel of Luke in a little bit more detail. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast on this seventh Sunday after Epiphany. Before the break, I was talking about forgiveness, living in the moment, focusing on God's plan, etc. And mostly dealing with the Genesis and Psalms, Psalm 37 assigned for today. We're going to move now to the Gospel reading. As I mentioned before, this is a continuation of the verses that were read last week, the Sermon on the Plain. Most people know the Sermon on the Mount, and that's the one with the blesseds. The Sermon on the Plain is very similar, although, as I said, we get the blesseds and the woe to you who verses. I read a quote this past week, and I can't remember who said it. I apologize. It's on a different computer, so I can't even look it up. But the quote said, why do we have to try to make these the same thing? Why couldn't Jesus have preached similar sermons in two different places? The Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain. Yes, they're similar, but they're also different. And if you've listened to me for any length of time, you know I say the same things more than once, because those are the things that I, those are the things that I really believe and are really important to me in my faith. And so they keep coming up over and over. And so why do we have to say it was just one sermon? The different gospel writers just wrote it differently. Well, maybe it was two separate sermons in two different places. Jesus just touched on similar themes. We'll never know, of course, unless you have a TARDIS and you can go back in time and see for yourself. But chances are good that's not going to happen. So let's just focus on what we have. So we've moved on this week past the blesseds and the woes, and we are into a different part of the sermon. But this sermon really continues the theme of love. There's so many beautiful moments. I mean, this is the place in the Bible where we get the golden rule, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, which pretty much every major religion has some variation on. And so here we have, again, the notion of grace, the notion of forgiveness, the notion of mercy. And a commentary that I read this week talks about that that mercy in an eschatological frame of reference. That's a huge word, right? Eschatological. Kind of means the end times, kind of means what happens at the end, kind of means it's a lot of things. It's really God's kingdom coming into the world around us. It's not a scary word. So the commentator, who is Ronald J. Allen, professor emeritus of preaching and gospels and letters, Christian Theology Seminary, Theological Seminary in Indianapolis, Indiana, talks about this notion of mercy in Luke 6 having an eschatological frame of reference. He says, the world deserves apocalyptic punishment, right? I mean, think about the world. There's some pretty screwed up stuff that happens. But instead, God is merciful by offering the possibility of turning away from disobedience and punishment, which is, of course, repentance. You're turning away from that and turning back towards God, turning towards the movement of God's to God's kingdom, right? And so Jesus' instructions in this Sermon on the Plain show the community, show those who were listening, how to put that into practice, how to put that eschatological mercy into practice. The verses that we read for today don't offer us like some sort of comprehensive list that you can just go through and check off. Instead, Jesus mentions, maybe think of them as case studies, instances or examples of mercy in action in the circumstances of the world that Jesus is living in and preaching in, the world that Luke is writing in. So listeners or readers can then reason their way into how to put the values of God's kingdom reflected in these imperatives into practice in other situations. He says that three things happen when the community acts on these directives. First, the witnessing community extends the mercy of God, that hope of being part of God's kingdom, to those who otherwise face destructive lives. Second, those who extend mercy find that their experience of mercy deepens as part of their present, if partial, experience of God's kingdom. And third, the church models the promise of God's kingdom for other communities. All good things, right? So we live in a world that has conflict. We live in a world that has all kinds of troubling situations. So Jesus gives these so-called case studies as ways of saying there are, as a means of saying there are ways to show God's mercy, to do God's work, to bring a little bit of God's kingdom into the world around us by showing mercy, by offering forgiveness, by showing kindness to those around us. And then we get a little later that golden rule, what we now refer to as the golden rule, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? Don't repay them. There's that whole, if someone takes your coat, well, then think to yourself, there's a reason they're stealing my coat. Maybe they need it more than I do. So give them your shirt instead. I realize these things aren't always what we're thinking. You know, if you're being mugged, you're not going to be like, well, here, just take everything. You might, and it's safer if you do say, here, take everything, although you're not probably going to take your shirt off, right? It's kind of it's a scenario. It's a case study. Think of why the person is doing what they're doing. Again, going back to the mugging scenario, if you're being held at gunpoint or something along those lines, not maybe the time to be having those thoughts. Get out of the situation, be safe. But later think, why would that person do that? Instead of wallowing in the bitterness of what happened, think, what happened to that person that made them do that to me? I'm not saying it's always that easy. I'm not trying to boil it down to just think happy thoughts and everything will be fine. Mm-mm, so much more complicated than that. But try to put yourself in just a slightly different perspective. And so, you know, that later in the commentary, he says that we sometimes mistake the admonition to stop judging and condemning to mean that the church or we should never make a moral judgment. But he says that rather the context of this sermon, it's likely that we should not act instead like we know the final verdict on those who are doing things that we maybe think are against God's will or God's kingdom. Yep. Judge not, lest ye be judged, right? That is not our place. It's not that we stop judging. We do stop judging. But it's not that we stop making moral decisions. It's not that we stop making moral choices or that we behave morally and responsibly. It's just that we come to realize that we are not the final judge on these matters, and to stop putting ourselves into that place. He ends up, I like that he ends up with questions, because I so often come through these texts with questions. He says, "I confess to being perplexed about these practices for today, for our current situation." He says, on the one hand, it is easy to say why Christians sometimes say that these principles, such as turning the other cheek, are unrealistic in such a violent world. The violent often run over those who do not retaliate. On the other hand, meeting violence with violence increases violence. He leaves it with questions. He leaves those gray spaces for us to live in. That's the thing. We don't come out of these discussions or these studies with a, yep, I just figured that out, I am right, you are wrong scenario. Or if we do, I think we're doing it wrong. We come out of this with questions. I don't know how I apply that to my life today. I think that this sermon of forgiveness and mercy is beautiful and wonderful, but I don't always feel like I'm in that place, right? But we have to be on the lookout for opportunities for mercy while we're figuring those out. We have to continue our relationship with God, giving those questions to God, saying, okay, here I am in this place. I am confused. It is a gray area. I need you to guide me. And God will. We might not always recognize it right away. We might not always agree with it when we see it, right? When we do recognize it right away. We might recognize the path and think, no way. No, God, I'm not going down that path. No, thank you. Not for me. But our relationship with God is about trust in God, and experience. The season of Epiphany is about the inbreaking of God's kingdom into the world. So we see that so much. And today we talk about mercy, God's mercy, as kind of a glimpse of God's kingdom breaking into the world. And I'm going to leave you with those gray spaces. I'm going to leave you with the questions, because that's where I am. And I'm going to spend some time this week thinking about those questions and talking to God and seeing maybe what God has to say to me about all of these things, and see where I come out. I want to thank you for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week. I hope that you will join me again next time. In the meantime, I also hope that you will remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.